If you want to have fun to the nth degree, listen to the Big Fun Show. If you want to have fun, it's BBC. Bringing you the Big Fun, bringing you the Big Fun, bringing you the Big Fun Show. Big Fun!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Big Fun Show. My name's Paul Merton.
And my name's John Irwin. And tonight, our show is being sponsored by the Thames Water Authority.
When was the last time you really thought about water?
This morning.
That's right, never. So here are the Timmitt twins who are going to take a look at the lighter side of water.
Hello, we are the Timmitt twins.
Yes, hello, we are the Timmitt twins.
Yes, hello, and I'm Joni.
Hello, and I'm Timmy. Timmitt.
Hello, Timmy. I'm Joni Timmitt. And together we are the Timmitt twins.
Timmitt twins, hello.
Yes, hello, yes. And we take humorous looks at things, don't we, Timmy?
Hello, I'm Timmy.
Yes. And I'm Tony, and we take humorous looks at things.
Hello, humorous.
Yes,
humorous looks at things. Well, Tony, what are we looking at today?
Oh, well, today we've been asked to take a humorous look at Walter.
Yes, hello, Walter.
Yes. And we're ever so excited because Walter was a particularly good friend of ours.
Hello, I'm Timmy.
Yes, hello. I'm Timmy. Walter was an especial chum of yours, wasn't he, Timmy?
Oh, yes, Walter was a very special chum of mine. We used to study fruit together.
Oh, how super. Did you do oranges?
Oh, no, too easy.
Yes, I suppose so.
Did you know Walter?
Oh, no, Walter. Oh, we were tremendously pally. I remember we said hello to each other 137 times.
Oh, hello.
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 Hello, yes, that's the sort of thing.
137 times. You must have been very pally.
Well, I don't know if he was listening to all of them, yes. But he was a tremendously humorous fellow.
Oh, yes. I remember one time he came to a geography lesson with his history books.
What does he do?
But luckily, Mr. Webster thought it was physics, and we all had a good giggle. And threw oranges at him.
Oh, my, my, what an adventure. He was like that, though. I remember once I was saying hello to him in a French lesson, and I don't think he could hear me, so I had to stand up and shout across the room. And I got sent out.
Oh, you.
So there you have it.
A humorous look at Walter. Hello.
Well, that was the Timmitt twins.
Now, one thing about water is that you must never mix it with electricity. For instance, you must never have an electric fire in the bathroom.
I dropped a radio into the Atlantic Ocean last week and electrocuted everything for 600 miles.
And that's why divers wear rubber suits. It happens all the time. And that's a true story. Now, there's no water in the Sea of Tranquility because the Sea of Tranquility is on the moon.
And that's why the Thames Water Authority plans to move its offices from there to Sidcup in 1989.
Good morning. Can I speak to Mr. Graham?
No, I'm sorry, you can't.
Well, I'll leave a message.
No, it's out of the question.
I'm sorry, but this is important.
Is this some sort of joke?
I'm sorry?
Mr. Graham died 2 years ago.
Oh, I see. Well, do you know where I can get hold of him?
I don't think you heard me. Mr. Graham died 2 years ago.
So presumably there's a forwarding address.
The only forwarding address is St. Luke's Cemetery.
So he'll be in this afternoon.
Yes, but I doubt if he'll speak to you.
If I write a letter, will he come round and pick it up?
The last letter Mr. Graham received was on the morning of his death. Some leaflets for patio doors. He then went to his bedroom and shot himself through the head. Do you understand?
So he ticked the yes box, did he?
I think we can guess from his general behaviour that he wasn't interested.
Shall I come round Tuesday?
Yes. It's plot 27. Goodbye.
What seems to be the trouble, sir?
Oh, at last. I was driving along and the engine just packed up.
Did you have the radio on?
No. Would you think it's an electrical fault, then?
Could be. You weren't singing at the time.
No.
Whistling or even just talking to yourself.
No, no. What do you think it is?
Well, it looks very much as if the car's just stopped out of sheer boredom. Can you try starting her?
Certainly.
All right. Don't want to wear out the dinner service. Now, how do I open the bonnet?
Here, use this.
A visiting card?
That's right, yes. Just push it through the grill at the front.
Well, I haven't seen one of these for a long time.
Really?
This reminds me of the old Ford etiquette. The engine's modelled on a dinner party with 6 guests. Now, the problem with these is sometimes they all want to speak at once.
Well, can you fix it?
Well, if you look in the back of my van, you'll find some ring spanners.
Right.
Well, underneath them is a box of Petit Fours. Bring them over, will you? What I'm going to do is try each of the guests with a Petit Four. That should tell us whether they're alive or dead.
Is that difficult?
Well, it can be tricky. One of these could take your fingers off. Now, if I just...
I said...
Good Lord!
Crumbs!
What a whopper!
How charming!
Well, really.
Well, they seem to be working all right.
Yeah. They sound pretty fluent to me. What's next?
Well, it could be a conversation rod.
What?
The conversation rod. Now, if that was to get stuck...
Well?
I couldn't say. What do you run her on?
Well, claret, usually a 62.
Well, you might do better with a 49. Mind you, I've seen some dinner parties. You could give them diesel and they wouldn't know the difference. Try starting her now. Hang on a minute.
What's that you're putting in there?
Conversation piece. We'll carry a spare. Try it again. Try revving her up.
That's excellent. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye. I don't know. Some people just haven't got a clue what goes on under their car bonnets.
Oh, Mr. Graham, I phoned your wife earlier. I believe you're interested in patio doors. And now over to Tony at the piano.
Yes, hello, it's me, Tony, over here at the piano. And the reason I'm so excited about music is because last night I had the great privilege of seeing that legendary blues singer, Short-Sighted Lemon Jaffa Cake, and... I noticed the most important thing about blues is not what you sing, but the fact that you sing it with soul. So with this in mind, let's just give it a bash. Fingers crossed, everyone. Well, not me, obviously, because it's... Here we go, right. I got a raspberry yoghurt in the fridge today. There's a man on the roof, but he don't get no pay. I got a brother with a twitch and a seat in the stands. Got a baby in my lap and a herring in my hands. I got three wheel babies, so I'll sing what I choose. And I'm gonna grow on down to the nonsense blues. Yeah. I got a pillow on my head and my dog's got the flu. Liverpool one, Sunderland two. Just squeeze and put the gas on every book who ever did. There's a spanner in the coffee and a brownie in my beer. A mustard breeze freshener, rest a low fuse. And I'm gonna groove on down to the nonsense blues. Alright, and it's nonsense, nonsense. It takes a lot of nerve, it's nonsense. But it's all that you deserve. And it's nonsense, nonsense. It takes a lot of nerve, it's nonsense. But it's all that you deserve. My postman doesn't knock. Beats to scare a light. It's beans and Dr. Spock. I want a juggle in the Empire State and serve inside a jar. Take away your dynamo and make up to a car. You know I got so much to say. So if you want to hear my views, you gotta groove on down to the nonsense blues. And it's nonsense, nonsense. It takes a lot of nerve, it's nonsense. But it's all what you deserve. And it's nonsense, nonsense. It takes a lot of nerve, it's nonsense. But it's all what you deserve. Well, one day, if I get my way, I'm gonna slice up lots of ham and leave it on a tray. I'm gonna empty out my dustbin, fill it full of lard. Interview the window and eat my yellow card. If you ask me to be logical, you know I will refuse, cause I'd rather move on down to the nonsense blues. One more time. And it's nonsense, nonsense. It takes a lot of nerve, it's nonsense. But it's all what you deserve. And it's nonsense, nonsense. It takes a lot of nerve, it's nonsense. But it's all that you deserve.
An igloo, baby. Well done, Tony.
That was Tony over there at the piano.
It's extraordinary that the notes should come out in a seemingly musical manner.
Extraordinary. Still rubbish, though, wasn't it?
Yes?
Helen.
William.
Yes, Helen. It's me.
But I can't believe you've come back. But after all this time...
I couldn't stay away any longer. I've missed you, Helen.
Oh, William, this is so unexpected. We buried you 2 years ago in plot 27. There was a funeral and everything.
That's not important now. Let's talk about us. I have so many plans.
Oh, but just give me a chance to catch my breath and open a window. recognize your voice, of course, but your appearance has changed so.
2 years in a grave changes a man, Helen. But let me tell you about my new ideas. I've been thinking seriously about us, and I think it's time for a big change.
I can hardly take all this in.
Patio doors, Helen. We'll start in the kitchen, twin doors separately hinged, making a natural thoroughfare through to the garden.
Just a moment, darling. Why, it's Gregory.
Hello, Helen, old girl. Mind if I come in?
No, I think you better go.
Pop by to borrow.
Good evening, Gregory. It's been a long time.
All right, so. It is William, isn't it?
Indeed it is, my dear Gregory. Although my skin has the colour and texture of the oldest parchment, and my cheekbones have penetrated what remains of my face, I am still the same William you've known all these years.
But I can't...
Well, my dear friend, do my eye sockets alarm you?
No, it's not that. It's, well, forgive me, it's the smell.
Yes. I must apologise. It's the alkaline soil, don't you know?
I don't know what to say.
There's no need to say anything, but I will ask you to listen.
Well, I'm listening, though. I never thought I'd say that to a cadaver.
Patio doors, Gregory. Buying, selling, and selling. The whole operation.
You must be mad. Who would buy patio doors from a corpse?
Perhaps one corpse might have problems, but not two. Think about it, Gregory. You and me working in tandem, starting from scratch. Of course, you'd have to commit suicide first.
What, commit suicide just to help you sell patio doors? You must be insane.
Am I? I sometimes wonder whether what we call insanity is simply an excuse to lock up people we don't like. Just take a look at these doors. Look at that workmanship. Oh, my arm seems to have fallen off.
Have you got a safety pin, Helen?
I'll just fetch one from the kitchen.
Never mind, I'll get it. Whoops, there goes the leg. Better sit down, I suppose. Oh, what have I lost there?
It looks like a shoulder blade to me.
Have you got my blue tack, Helen? Damn.
Oh, I've had enough of this. Patio door salesman, you're nothing but a pile of dust. If it wasn't for the double glazing, you'd be blowing down the garden.
Gregory, come back! Helen? Helen, what are you doing?
It's for the best, William. I'm going to hoover you out of my life.
Helen, no! Oh! Oh!
Hello, it's just the Timmy
Twins.
Hello,
I'm Timmy. Hello,
I'm Joni.
We're the Timmy Twins. Hello, I'm Timmy.
We haven't got time for all that.
Oh,
no, 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 no. We made a bit of a boo-boo earlier on.
Boo-boo? Hello.
Yes, hello. When we were taking our humorous look at Walter, we shouldn't have.
Shouldn't we?
No, no, no. They wanted a humorous look at water.
But Walter couldn't swim.
No, 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 water.
Oh, water.
Yes, 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 water. I've got a humorous fact about water. Did you know that the human body is made up of 87% water?
What, all humans? Including Walter?
Yes, yes. Wait a minute, that means that the glass of water I drank yesterday must have been 13% water.
Crikey, what a thing.
Yes.
Tony, I've just had a wee-wee.
Yes.
So that means that I'm now only about 50% water.
You better have a lie down.
And a glass of water.
Yes, yes. Well, there you have it. A humorous look at water. Hello.
You can have both of those on one ticket, Mr. Dearden.
Excuse me. Do you have any books on animal husbandry?
I don't know. Why?
I think I've just married a goat.
Cream or milk, sir?
Cream, thank you, Jarvis.
Jam or marmalade, sir?
Marmalade, I think. Coffee smells good this morning, Jarvis.
It's the new Mexican blend, sir. I believe each bean is graded according to its intelligence.
Intelligence, Jarvis?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I meant aroma. Each bean is individually roasted to a temperature of 9,000 degrees Celsius. Some, of course, fall by the wayside. The remainder of the beans are subjected to a rigorous selection program consisting of underground explosions.
Really?
After a particularly punishing session in the wind tunnel, they are freeze-dried in liquid nitrogen. Of course, further losses are incurred at this stage. The remaining few are vacuum-packed at ultrasonic speed.
methods and are then analysed by experts from three different countries, none of whom share a common language, to minimise the chance of any collusion, you understand.
I'd be damn surprised if there'd be any beans left after all that bloody rigmarole.
Usually just one, sir. And the flavour is so locked in, it's impossible to get at it. It's impregnable. Yes. Science can only shrug its shoulders and say, this is the ultimate bean. We don't like it, we don't even understand it, but now that we've discovered it, we can't just ignore it.
Oh, get out, Jarvis.
Yes, sir.
And bring me the Times.
Ah, yes, an invigorating read. Investigative journalism at its best. Right, yet weighty. Informative, yet useful in its approach to the stories that matter. Its policies...
Oh, get back to the kitchen and get on with some work.
Ah, the modern kitchen, sir.
Jarvis, if you don't stop talking rot and remove that unctuous tone from your voice, I'm going to shoot you through the face.
Have you thought how easy it would be to remove the bloodstains from this carpet, sir? The combination of nylon and...
And you say that he remains smug right up to the moment you pulled the trigger, sir.
That's right, Inspector. That's exactly how it happened.
Now, there's just a couple of details I'm not quite clear on. You say the coffee is tested in a wind tunnel? Now, why would anyone in their right mind place a coffee bean in a wind tunnel?
I don't know.
Sounds quite dangerous to me. What do you think, Sergeant?
Oh, I wouldn't like to try it, sir.
Now, would you say that 9,000 degrees Celsius was fairly hot for a cup of coffee? You need quite a lot of milk to cool that down.
Look, why do you keep asking me about the coffee? The man is dead.
Coffee? Did you hear me mention coffee, Sergeant?
Not a whisper, sir.
Look, Inspector, I've had about enough of this. Either you charge me or let me go.
I'm afraid it's not as easy as that, sir.
I'm not going to leave the country, if that's what you're thinking.
That's a good one.
Very droll, sir.
I'll check in every day at the police station, if you insist.
And how are you going to do that, sir? When for the last 25 minutes we've been on the moon?
Look, Inspector, if this is some sort of joke...
It's no joke, sir, if you'd care to glance out of the window...
Good God!
I see you recognise the lunar landscape, sir.
But it can't be.
Just take a look up at the sky. They tell me on a clear day you can see Europe.
I'm not standing for this. I'm going to phone my solicitors. Get me Cherrywood 9460. Hello? Hello? So, not only have you taken me to the moon, you've also had my phone cut off.
Even if it were possible to run an Earth-Moon link-up, I doubt very much if the first place to benefit would be the Cherrywood Exchange. Wouldn't you agree, sir?
Well, all right.
I should have thought NASA would have had first refusal.
All right, all right. Look, just tell me why you've brought me to the moon.
Well, sir, it's a new policy at Scotland Yard. You see, if we charge you with murder, what sort of sentence do you think you'd get?
Well... life, I'd imagine.
And of course, sir, would plead provocation.
All right, 6 years.
And your butler was very smug, wasn't he, sir?
They'd still put me in for at least three.
But what with the parole board, prison welfare and a court of human justice, you'd be out in a quarter of an hour.
But how do you expect me to survive up here alone in this desolate place? Why me? There are thousands worse than me. I'll give you some names. You could bring them up here.
We already have, sir. If you care to look out the back window.
Good God!
Yes, sir, we've been doing this for years.
There's a whole city out there.
It's an exact copy of Basildon Town Centre. It's filled with con men, car thieves, murderers and vicious thugs.
Just like the real Basildon.
Exactly, sir. A perfect replica down to the last vandalised toilet.
And who lives in that big house on the hill?
Lord Lucan, sir. You often see him out riding with Shergar.
And just what am I supposed to do all day?
Naturally, sir, you don't think we'd have brought you all the way up here without fixing you up with a job.
A job?
We've got you a job in the bowling alley. You'll be hiring out bowling shoes, selling peanuts, nougat, that sort of thing.
I can assure you, Inspector, the one thing I will never do will be to hire out shoes in a bowling alley. Bowling shoes, peanuts, nougat. Bowling shoes, peanuts, nougat.
Dear, these bowling shoes are too big.
Well, stick some nougat in them. Bowling shoes, peanuts, nougat.
Yeah, these peanuts taste as if they've been stuck inside a bowling shoe.
They have. Bowling shoes, peanuts, nougat.
Yeah, I want to talk to you.
What do you want?
Is this the one, Sophie?
Yeah, that's it.
You've been looking at my bird.
It's him, Sean.
Look out, the moon's about to explode.
Good God.
Oh, my head. It's bowling alley. Hey, you there.
Signore!
Where am I? What is this place? Where did these wooden shacks come from?
Signore!
Am I going mad? Oh, the heat of this place. I must have water.
You joke, signore. There is no water in El Paso.
But there must be a bar somewhere. Perhaps a corner shop that sells soft drinks.
Signore, there are no soft drinks in El Paso.
But there must be something to drink.
Signor, you do not understand. Our coffee bean harvest has failed. Our women are barren, and our barons are women. Our cattle, they do not understand what it is to be cattle. They think they are human beings. They steal our tractors and make faces behind our backs. And you ask for water in El Paso?
Now, look, I am thirsty and I'm angry. I've just been blown up in a bowling alley on the moon, so give me water.
Signor Negita!
You're lucky it wasn't your neck.
The water you seek can be found in the wooden shack behind you, if it means so much to you.
Did you enjoy your water, signor?
Yes, thank you.
You like some more, signor? Or some coffee, perhaps? We have three flavors, strong, medium, and burro.
No, thank you, but I wouldn't mind hearing some of your local sarcasm.
Very well, signor. Or should I say, signorina?
Yes, not bad. In tone, it reminds me of the sarcasm often to be heard in the back streets of Peru.
Or perhaps, in your case, the backsides of Peru.
Oh, bravo, bravo. Now, perhaps some fine music to go with this sarcasm of yours.
Signor, perhaps you forget we have no guitar.
Well, I'm
sorry. Signor, let me tell you a story. Many years ago, a baby was born.
Good God! Shouldn't we tell the police?
The time for sarcasm is over. The baby was a musical genius. For years, the whole village saved every peseta until we had enough for a guitar. A guitar for my brother, Ricardo. He played for the village, the whole village. He played every time someone uttered the name of El Paso.
Ben! With a single blow, you break my brother's guitar and my mother's heart.
Well, he wasn't exactly Bert Whedon, was he?
Quick, everybody hide! The masked bandito is heading this way.
The masked bandito?
Who's he?
Senor, the masked bandito is the escort of Mexico. He wanders the plains in a blaze of terror. No bank is safe. No sheriff is equal. No woman can resist his devilish smile. There is not a village in Central America that does not mourn the day they set their eyes on the masked bandito.
So, it is you, masked bandito.
Who were you expecting, the Avon lady? Yes, I am indeed the whip-happy bandido. Gun for hire, pistol for rent, or a good whipping on the HP.
Oh, senor, forgive me.
I presume you got my card. I said I'd be dropping by.
But, senor, we are but poor peasants. We cannot read. Ow!
I blame the parents. Now then, will someone please help me down from my Italian stallion?
It would be an honor, senor.
Are your hands clean? Both sides.
Signor, they are but a poor peasant woman's hands. Gnarled and blistered. I have to chop the firewood. I plow the fields. I cut the long grass with a scythe.
Oh, you have been handling a lot of tools. Never mind. I'll get down myself. Now, before I rob you all, could I have a look at the menu? I haven't had something hot inside me since I left Acapulco. That was a Cornish pasty.
The menu, signor.
Thank you. Now, what shall I have?
The chef special?
I know that, but I want my dinner first. Oh, I think I'll have the vegetarian chicken. And some oats for the horse. While we're waiting, I suppose I may as well rob you. Now, I've actually got a system. I've got a system, and I want all of your jewellery in this bag here, and all of your money in this bag. Leather goods here, electrical appliances over there. Perishable dairy produce in the icebox, of course, and don't waste my time with Tupperware, novelty goods, or any South African fruit or vegetable.
Hey, bandido! Bog off!
Bog off yourself. Now, let's have a rummage through my booty, shall we? Although, quite frankly, I feel as if I'm at a bring-and-buy sale here. Well, what have we here? One poncho with sleeves. 6.5 pesetas and a soggy tortilla chip. Not to mention the Roger Whittaker songbook and the leatherette clutch bag. But wait, what is this?
Senor, as I believe we mentioned earlier, we are but poor peasants.
Oh, you shouldn't put yourself down like that.
But, senor...
Yeah, I mean it. Now, stop whinging, please, before I put another stripe on you.
We have but one more thing of value, and it's yours. There it is, senor.
Well, I can see why you've been holding this back. Well, it's magnifico. Every time I look at it, I shall think of those three welts on your face.
Senor, I only have two.
That'll teach you to argue. Now then, I'd like to say a big thank you. I'd like to say a big thank you to you all. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's a Mexican who bluffs. Right. As you do not seem to heed a conventional whipping, I shall offer you the Bandido Whip Happy Special. Silence. Now, what is it to be? The Prince of Wales check or the gingham?
Simple peasant.
Well, with a complexion like yours, I should plump for the gingham. Now then, as I was saying, normally I stagger from town to town, laden with jewels or money. But here you do things differently. Speaking as a whip-happy bandido, I am both touched and honored, from my slingbacks to my sombrero. But let my fingers do the talking. I'm going to leave old Durham Town. I'm going to leave old Durham Town. I'm going to leave old Durham Town. And that leaving's going to get me down. I thank you.
And now, a last minute message from our sponsors.
That was the Big Fun Show, written and presented by me, Paul Merton.
And me, John Irwin.
Also starring Josie Lawrence, Neil Malarkey and Tony Hawks, and featuring Julian Clary as the masked bandido, whip-happy pistol for rent.
The songs were by Tony Hawks, additional material by the cast, and the producer was David Tyler.